Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you bring all things to my remembrance. You bring all things to my remembrance. Daily matters in the gospel of the kingdom. You, Holy Spirit, bring all things to my remembrance. Thank you, Lord. Worship you, Jesus. No dependency on myself, but all my dependency on the Holy Ghost. Worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for your mercy. Thank you for your abundant mercy. The same abundant mercy that I was begotten with, Lord. It's the same mercy that I'm to show the world. Same mercy, the same abundant mercy that you showed us. It's the same mercy that we show the world. I love you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, bring all things to my remembrance. My dependency is on you. That I would yield this moment to you, Holy Ghost. That I would yield this moment to you. Praise you, my Father. Praise you, Father. In Jesus' name. And all the saints of God said, amen. Amen. Glory. Let's go around and shake some hands, please. Tell everybody how beautiful they look. Glory. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for Christ in us, the hope of glory. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's powerful if you can grasp it. Huh? Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. A lot of thinking, a lot of thoughts been going through my mind the last week or so. Just bear with me. Thank you, Lord. You bring all things to my remembrance. We have to remember I have a Facebook, and I got off of it about 2 or 3 weeks. You might ask me why. Then I got back on it again because I like making jokes on Facebook. I like reaching out. I got family in California. I got family everywhere. I like staying in touch with him, but I was so mad. You know that on Facebook you have an audience? You have an audience on Facebook. And you know why I got off of it? Not because the world made me mad. You know what you get with the world. Born again Christians got me mad. We are in such a time of falling away of the truth. And I don't think a lot of people know we're in the falling away of truth because they're so limited on their knowledge of God's word. I'm telling you, I hear things on Facebook from so-called Christians, it just broke my heart. I don't preach on Facebook anymore. I will one day probably make videos or whatever, but it's common now. Now, there's a lot of people that I love dearly whose parents say this on Facebook. Kids that are very athletic, they're prospering now, openly playing house with young ladies, openly fornicating. This really breaks my heart. It breaks it. Because they esteem their parents as strong Christian people. So whatever their parents say that are Christians, they think it's okay. This is common now on Facebook. God got you. Y'all see that a lot? God got my baby. No, the only God that's got your baby is the God of this earth, not the God of heaven. How are you doing today? Oh, I'm so blessed of Jesus. I just see you drop the words MF on Facebook. God got my baby. I hope to God that your son is not hearing you preach. There's a falling away of truth like never before. Literally, people saying how blessed they are, living openly in fornication. Listen, I tell my kids all the time, don't fornicate. There's no fornicators in heaven. We can't be scared. I'd rather my kids get mad at me and not talk to me for 2 years. But I will tell them the word of God. I will tell them. Nathaniel, Elijah, Julie, no. You cannot fornicate and inherit the kingdom of God. God got you. And really, I'm not talking about my kids now. I'm not talking about them. I mean, I'm just using them as an example. Because I might get in trouble for this, but I don't care. I love these people too much. They probably won't hear this, but if they do, I want them to hear it. God don't got your son. God don't got your daughter. He does not got you. He does not got my baby. That's going to send them to hell unless they repent. God got you, baby. No, God don't got you, baby. The God of this earth got you thinking that the real God got you. The only God that's got you is the God of this earth. And it is everywhere. I mean, everywhere. It's everywhere. The modern day church has missed it. When I read of somebody that says my, or I, it's commonly said, man, that person really made it in life based on monetary gain. If you based their success in life on monetary gain and you said this person made it, then the Apostle Paul was not a success, because all that he died with was books, parchments, and a cloak. That's all he had left. But the modern day church says, oh, they're such a success. If their success came at the price of not serving Jesus, they are in covetousness. Oh, they're a real success. They made it in life based on what? Monetary gain? That the Apostle Paul is a flat out loser. Didn't have a penny in his pocket. He had books, parchments, and a cloak. And I believe with all my heart, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, that Timothy was going to receive this from the Apostle Paul. This old warrior is done. I have nothing left to offer. All I have is books, parchments, and a cloak. Bring them to me, please. Oh, they made it in life. They made it in life. I heard a guy talking about, and I don't care if they hear this. I thank God that the school allowed my company to come into the community. My company. Well, thank God for you. You take that same zeal and serve God with it. Though the Apostle Paul died a success. I mean, he died a failure because he had nothing left of monetary gain. He had nothing left. Nothing. Books. And the young man that wrote that, I love him dearly. The kingdom of God is not about us. And if you have monetary stuff and your heart is to sow that into the kingdom, then you're right on. But if that monetary gain comes at the expense of your lack of relationship with Jesus Christ, you are in covetousness. God got you. It's everywhere. Somebody said to me the other day, and I responded back. Because I had to respond back because their heart was deceived. They said, I'm a Christian. And I boldly said, no, you're not. You can't drop the F-bomb on Facebook every day and call yourself a Christian. You can't take advantage of young ladies and call yourself a Christian and use them because of their money. You cannot. You're going to hell. You're not born again. Get born again. What's wrong with you today, homie? Nothing. I'm just mad. I'm mad at what's been going on in this town lately. People murdered. A young man hung himself. A guy pulled out an assault rifle at the handy. Last night, a lady was run over. 3 days ago, a man was arrested for trying to kidnap two ladies on 3rd Street. All this in a little town of 18,000 people. I'm mad. In a righteous way. God don't got you. But God's going to get this town. Because my heart's broken when I hear what happens in this town. If my speech is off a little bit, just bear with me. I'm just going through a little something. But we need correction sometimes. We need it. That person is a success based on monetary gain. You're ignorant of the scriptures. They're a success because of what? Oh, they made it in life. Are you mad at people that have money? No. Not at all. I'm mad at what people are giving heed to. Because it's the beginning of disaster if you don't watch yourself. We're so void of understanding of God's word that it isn't even funny anymore, and it's growing more and more and more and more and more. I'm scared not for myself, but I'm scared for those that I love. God got my back. This person is doing good, making a lot of money because of their faith. They have no faith. They have a living girlfriend, man. See where I'm going with this? There is a falling away of truth like never before. It's disturbing to me. It's so disturbing to me that lets me know that our nose is not in the Word of God. Yes, but I pray in tongues. You better put your nose in God's word. The word of God, praying in the Holy Ghost. We pray out mysteries. The mysteries that are in God's word. You're not going to put out a mystery that's in God's word. You're going to put God's word in you. Only with God's word in you that the mysteries that are in there that we can't behold are unfolded. I get real upset. If you're crying out, pastor says revival, I say kingdom of external manifestation of the kingdom, same thing, my preference. If you're crying out revival, I want to see revival outside of righteousness and holiness. You're exalting yourself. You're hearing a powerful message and it sounds good, and you are exalting yourself if you're doing it outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Why do you cry out revival if you're doing it to bring glory upon yourself? I believe it is the absolute will of God, but why do we cry out revival, manifestation of the kingdom? Why? Is it to bring glory to this church, or is it to bring glory to the King? If you want to bring glory to the King, you are spending time with Jesus. If you're not spending time with Jesus, you're trying to bring glory to yourself with these magnificent words. It is the will of God that there be an external manifestation of the kingdom. It is the will of God that there be a revival. That is undeniable. But why are you crying it out? What is your motive behind that statement? I talked to one of my elders the other day, to Barry Johnson, one of the most meekest men that I know in this world. This man is incredible. Awesome man of God. And we were talking about revival. And he said that a certain person asked God, God, why am I crying revival? Why? And I guess the guy that asked God the question didn't like the answer. I want to see a lame walk, lepers healed, blind see, especially the blind see. That's my favorite one. But why do we cry it out? We're contending for revival. Are you really? Are you really contending for revival? Really? Really, are you? You might be. But the good thing about sitting down with people for hours and talking to them is you keep hearing their conversation and you'll know what they're contending for. I listen carefully when I talk to people. Carefully. I listen more than what I talk. The truth will come out in the conversation. It will come out. God got you. God got my baby. Oh my God, man. My God. Real quiet. This person paid it in life based on monetary gain. If you think they made it in life based on monetary gain, I know what's in your heart. Because if they made it based on monetary gain, you're striving to do the same thing. You're striving to do the very exact same thing. How do you know? Because your mouth betrayed you. It spoke of a desire that's in your heart. I've learned more and more to listen. I've learned more and more to listen. My mindset has changed lately. I don't call people up anymore to check on them. They say people that I've checked on for 20 years are still the ones that hardly ever come to church. What do you think about this? We say it and we quote it, but we don't really comprehend it. If they don't listen to the Holy Ghost, they're not going to listen to us. They might for 2 or 3 weeks. If they only come to church because I said, come visit us, then they're accountable to me. No, they got to be accountable to God. So I stopped. The same people that struggled 10 or 15 years ago are still struggling now. If I care more about your walk with about Jesus Christ than you do, then I'm out of order. I had no intention of saying this tonight. I had no intention at all. We're going to call this message G5128. That's what I want on YouTube. Again, bear with me on my speech tonight. G5128 is going to be the name of this message tonight. Why, Homer? Let me get there. Am I mad at anybody? No, I'm here to help you, man. I'm here to help you. And don't call me and say, is it me? I'm not going to answer your question. For you to have to ask me if it's me, and the answer is yes. It's you. The name of this message is 5128. It's a Greek word, hufomone. I'm going to tell you what the word, it's patience in the English, but in the original Greek, it's hufomone. It's G5128 in the Greek. I've heard it defined before. Again, if my words aren't exactly right, just bear with me. G5128, hufomone, the word patience. The church lacks it big time. That's why there is so many inconsistencies in God's word in our life. So many inconsistencies because we lack hufomone. We lack patience. 5128 means, listen carefully, quality of character that will not allow one to surrender to circumstances, to succumb under trial. Listen. Hufomone, 5128, this is what it means. Quality of character that does not allow one to surrender to circumstances or to succumb under trial. It means this. You're a bad woman and a bad hombre if you have hufomone. Without it, you're just an absolute roller coaster. You'll serve God when you feel like it. And when you don't feel like it, you won't serve Him because you're not showing quality of character. That's what separated the apostles from us. Or from the corporate body of Christ. They were bondservants. They were enslaved to God by the will of God. You're not a bondservant of God unless you're a slave to His word. And if you're a slave to His word, emotions have nothing to do with your walk. It is your joy. It is your joy to keep the word of the Father. The apostles were completely, they had an understanding of what hufomone meant. Quality of character. Listen, let it sink in. Quality of character. Not to allow yourself to surrender to circumstances or to succumb under trial. The word succumb means temptation came, pressure came, and you didn't give in. You didn't give in, man. You stood faith in the true grace of God. With all my heart, I'm trying to help you. If you're mad at what I'm saying, you're not mad at me. You're mad at the Word of God. That's where I got it from. I want to help you. We're called to a lot more than inconsistency. We're called to keep our nose in the Word of God. We're called to utter up the mysteries in other tongues. We're called to fast. We're called more than anything to walk in obedience. But if you do not add hufomene to your walk, you'll give in whenever you feel like giving in. But if you, what was it again, baby? Quality of character will not allow you to surrender to temptation. What was it? To circumstances or to succumb under trial. That's got to be added to your walk, man. It's got to be added to your walk. Two people that I really like fellowshipping with so much is Kirsten and her mama, Terry. We were talking the other day at a restaurant about certain things that we struggle with. And it's not immorality. By the way, as I was talking to them, my wife was right next to me in case you think you want us to minister to women all the time. You're wrong. My wife was right next to me. And I'm not going to tell you what we were talking about, but we were being upfront with each other. But the truth of the matter is, we got that new family and that was to flare up in our life. So it's not easy sometimes. That's why Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, abstain from fleshly lust, which war, war. What we talked about, ladies, reason that we have a hard time, not have a hard, because it's a war against our soul. It's a fleshly lust. It's a war. What does war mean, Homer? War. War. Whatever idol you have, whatever idol I have, it's a war. Not to idolize it. But we add hufomene to our faith. Quality of character. Quality of character, which will not allow me to surrender to what was it, baby? Circumstances. To succumb under trial. Hufomene. 51:28. 51:28. Quality of character. Why did the apostle seem to overcome all their strongholds? Why? Because they understood that keeping all of the word of God was how God is loved. He's not loved in church when we lift up our hands and say, I love you. He's loved in church when we keep his commandments. There is no other way to love God. I don't care if you worship for 10 hours a day. You can worship for 10 hours a day, go out of here and walk in disobedience. You don't love God. I've always said this for years. I used to hear, maybe for 20 years I believed this. Well, that person fell away, but they really love God. No, they don't. I've always said that within myself. Well, that person really loved God. No, they didn't. No, I've always said that without having an understanding of 1 John. Well, they love God and they know the word. No, they don't know the word. They remember the word. If you know the word, you'll do it. Hufomene, quality of character. I won't allow myself to surrender to circumstances. Why? Because I've come to the conclusion that if I don't surrender to the circumstance, I love God. If I do surrender to the circumstance, I'm not loving God at that moment. But if I don't succumb, if I don't surrender, I'm loving my Father. Even if I don't feel like surrendering, even if I feel like succumbing to the situation, I'm showing God's love. We're mistaken when we think loving God is a feeling. No, loving God is an absolute action. Holy Spirit guide me, sir. I asked God about a week ago, Lord, somewhere in my life I'm despising your chastening. Take me, Lord, with me. Put marks on my back. I judge myself, Father, lest I be judged. Luke 8, Kirsten, come up and read this verse. Why do you have Kirsten come up? Because I can quote the verse, but sometimes I misquote them. And I want it to be quoted to AT, so come up and read that verse a couple of times and tell them where it's at, please.
Luke 8, verse 15. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience.
What's the name of the message tonight? What's it called? G5128. He said, they bear and bring forth fruit with patience. Or we could say, bring forth fruit with what? 5128. They bore fruit because of hufamune. They bore fruit because of hufamune. Quality of character. Lord, I'm born of you to do your will. To do your will, I have to have patience. I have to have hufamine. I have to incorporate 5128. I have to incorporate. If not, I will not bear fruit. Hufamine has to be added to my arsenal. It has to be. He's speaking a parable here. I'm going to keep it simple. Well, he's addressing two separate kinds of people. Those that understood and those that what? Those that didn't. The ones that didn't understand, you might say, well, God, it's not their fault that they didn't understand. No, no, no. The understand means that they didn't think he was the Christ. You with me? They didn't understand the gospel of the kingdom. They didn't understand who he was. They didn't believe he was the Christ. So he spoke in parables to them. The others that understood believed that he was the Christ. So he didn't speak in parables to them. The ones that he spoke in parables to, he was on the seashore. He said this to them, the ones that didn't understand, the ones that didn't believe that he was the Christ. This is going to be real quick. They sowed the seed. This is a practical parable that he spoke to the unbelievers. Now, the believers, the disciples were there. He wasn't addressing them, but they heard it because they were part of the multitude. So he wasn't speaking to them. He was speaking to those that had no comprehension that he was a Christ. But the apostles were there, so they heard what he said. He said, I'm going to teach you guys something. The sower sowed seed. So they were glued to him. This was a parable because they didn't understand that he was the Christ. A sower sowed the seed. Some fell among thorns. Some fell upon rocks. Some fell. There was very little earth. Some fell among thorns. Some among rocks. And some seed fell or sowed or planted. What's the other? Well, there was very little earth. He said, it was sowed. God, the seed was sowed. Very little earth. There was rocks. And there was thorns. To push this message forward, they didn't bear fruit. They're like this. Oh, he's talking to us about farming. It didn't bear fruit. He said it didn't bear fruit. So if it didn't bear fruit, what would the message be to them? Don't sow seed where there's no earth. Don't sow seed where there's rocks. Don't sow seed where there's thorns. You will bear no fruit, farmers. Sow seed on good ground. Sow seed where there is a lot of earth, and it will bear fruit. So practical. Don't sow it where there's thorns. Don't sow it where there's rocks. Don't sow seed where there's no earth. It'll bear no fruit. Sow seed where the earth is abundant and it's fertile. Sow seed there, guys. It will bear fruit. He didn't leave him thinking. He said, sow seed where the earth is good and abundant. It will. He didn't say maybe. It will produce fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100. So here are these guys that don't believe he's the Christ. They're saying he's talking to us about farming. Guys, don't sow seed where there's no earth. Don't sow seed where there's thorns. And don't sow seed where there's rocks. It will not bear fruit. Sow seed where there's plenty of fertile earth. It will. He didn't say maybe. He didn't say maybe. He said it will. It will bear fruit. That's pretty simple, isn't it? It will bear fruit. So now the apostles come, I'm paraphrasing, said, Lord, explain to us these parables. So now he's ministering to who? To those that understood. To the believers. He told the unbelievers, sow seed where there's earth. It will. It will. It will. It will. It will produce fruit. No questions about it. So the 12 came, and those that believed in him, and said, Lord, what does this parable mean? What does it mean? We're going to go to verse 15 to expedite this. Sometimes we wonder in our life, where am I at? Why am I not at a certain point with God? Remember, he said, if you sow seed where there's plenty of earth, he said, what did he say? It will produce fruit. It will. It will. No doubt about it. It will produce fruit. So they come to him and say, Lord, explain to us this parable. So I'm going to go and jump to 15. Read it one more time, Kirsten. 8:15. Hold on. The ones that fell on good ground. What did he tell those that didn't believe in him? Sow it where? On good ground. And it will bear fruit. Now he's talking to those that understood that he was the Christ. Read that again. Stop. He's telling them the same thing he told those that didn't believe. But now in spiritual application. He said, but the ones that fell on good ground, or the seed that fell on good ground. Tell them, talk to the believers. Now, the seed that fell on good ground, go ahead, Kirsten. Are those having heard the word, go ahead. Okay, with a noble and good heart. He told the unbelievers, sow seed in the natural on earth, and it will produce a crop. It will. So we wonder within ourselves, where are we at, Lord? Why are we not bearing fruit? Why are we not at a certain level? Jesus addressed that question. He guaranteed those that sow seed that if you sow seed on good ground, it's going to bear fruit. No questions about it. If you sow it on good ground. Did you get that? You got to sow it on good ground. If you sow seed where there's no earth, it'll rise up. Because it has no root, it'll wither away. If you sow it amongst thorns, the thorns will consume the seed. They'll grow up, and it'll bear no fruit. But now he's talking to the believers. Read it from the beginning again, Kirsten, real slow. But the ones that fell on good, on what? The ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. He told the believers, the seed that fell on good ground. Okay, here's to help me again. Okay. Are those who haven't heard the word, what word? The gospel of the kingdom. The ones that bore fruit were the ones that, Lord, help me. The seed that fell on good ground. Now he's talking about the heart. He's not talking about earth anymore. He's talking about the heart. Those that fell on good ground are those that hear the word with a noble and good heart. Those that hear the word with a noble and good heart. Those that hear the word with a noble and good heart and keep it. Keep what? The word that was sown in their heart. They keep the word that's sown in their heart. But what makes the heart good and noble? But those that heard the word with a noble and good heart keep it and bring forth fruit with hufamene. What made their heart good and noble that they bore fruit? Whatever they heard, they did. They kept it. And they bore fruit with hufamene. What made that heart good and noble? Patience. The ones that fell away because of temptation, they lacked what? Hufamene. The ones that loved the lust of this world, the ones that loved money, the ones that were consumed with the world, they allowed outside things to enter in. They did it because they lacked hufamene. But those that heard the word didn't allow the love of money to come in, didn't allow the love for the women to come in, didn't allow the lust for other men to come in. They kept the word that was sown in their heart, and they brought forth fruit with hufamene. Without hufamene, their heart would have not been good and noble. But they added, God, I'm born of you. I'm here as a bondservant to do your will. Sometimes I want to do it, and I'm in a battle. He says, I know, so was my son. But my son added hufamene to his faith. If he added hufamene, if he added character to his faith, then so do you. We're not always going to feel like doing right. But our heart is good and noble when we bear fruit with patience. If we do not bear fruit, then we're not walking in hufamene. But if you walk in hufamene, you're going to what? Bear fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100. This is the guarantee. This is the guarantee. We're wondering, why do we feel like we're so far behind? Like he guaranteed those that didn't understand that if you plant a seed on the earth, it's gonna bear fruit. He's given us a guarantee, a promise that if you add hufamene to your faith, you are going to bear fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100. When things try to creep into your life, the lust of other things, the lust of women, the love of money, if you don't add hufamene to your walk, you're going to give in and you will be fruitless. But if you, what's 51:28 again, baby? But if you don't add quality of character, if you don't add hufamene to your daily walk with Christ, you're going to be inconsistent. And inconsistency ultimately will take you out of the presence of God. If you say you're a Christian and you're not bearing fruit, you might not be a Christian. But if your heart is good and noble, you hear it, you've predetermined, You've predetermined, I am born of God to do his will. I want to see the blind see, the lame walk. This is the kingdom of God. If you don't add hufamine to your walk, you'll see none of it. Because you lack character. You're surrendering to circumstances. You're succumbing under trial. You're giving in to the pressure. You're giving in to the temptation. We have to know what's at hand. Character. We don't surrender to circumstances. We don't surrender to lust. We surrender to the will of our Father. James chapter 1. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For he has been approved, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord shall give unto them that love him. That love for him was based on me and you enduring ourselves. That love that we have for him is based on us enduring things. Hufamine. Character. God got you. Not without hufamine, he doesn't. The God of this earth got you. You post on Facebook all you want about how blessed you are. You better tell that man or that woman to get out of your bed. It's not your wife or your husband. You better tell them. If you don't tell your sons and your daughters that you don't love them, you don't love them. I told my high school son, Elijah, he's been married for how long, sweetheart? 3 years. We had a talk one day. I said, come here, boy, I got to talk to you. Do you know? And I know he got quiet. He knew something was coming. Son, if you are having continual sex with your girlfriend, you are not born again. You better get married. 3 weeks later, he proposed. He didn't want to go to hell. As parents, we got to tell our children the truth. People have come into our church and left because we preach a hard message to them. The message that we preach is the gospel of the kingdom. The first mortification message preached was in Matthew 5. If your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and cast it from thee. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. Mortify that which causes you to sin. Mortify it. Don't do it. Do whatever you have to do not to do it. I want my kids to be with me in heaven. I don't want to be a coward and not tell them that they're wrong and they end up going to hell. Listen, I hope I outlive all my kids. I don't think I could live with myself if one of my kids died not knowing Jesus. I probably wouldn't want to live. The word of God was in me, but yet I didn't want to offend them, so I didn't tell them nothing. I'd rather people come into this church, hear that you're to live holy, get mad at us and leave because we told them the truth, than to make them happy and say, you're okay fornicating. God's grace will cover your sin. No. No. God's grace tells you not to sin. And listen, I've been involved in fornication. I have been addicted to pornography. Big time. Not anymore. I have 7 children. 6 are with me, and 1 is in heaven. Because of something that I did when I was not born again. I took a young lady to Sarasota and paid for an abortion. She was so mad at me. It didn't even faze me. I gave the $400, $500, went our way. She didn't talk to me on the way home, and it wasn't my wife, but in case you're wondering. She wouldn't talk to me on the way home, but I was so relieved that I wasn't a father again. You know what? I often think of what I did. I told the Lord, Lord, I don't know if this is possible. Just tell him that I'm sorry. Tell her or him that I am so sorry. That I'll see them again one day. I'm far from being an angel. Just recently, I forgave myself. The baby would have been about 32, 33 years old. And I'm forgiven. And I am a big time defender pro-life. This is a misconception. The misconception is that I'm mad at women that had abortions. No, I'm not mad. I'm mad at 700,000. What bothers me is there's 700,000 abortions in this country. All they wanted was a chance in life. That's all they ever wanted. Hufamune. Character. That does not allow me to surrender to circumstances or to succumb under trial. In other words, no matter what the world does to me, I'm a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a comprehension that me proving my love, that I love the Father, only comes by enduring temptation. I don't love God if I give in to temptation. No matter how hard it seemed, I have a way out. Because what Satan offered Jesus was far more than anything we've ever gone through. Satan showed Jesus the glories of the world. You think he might have seen a very good looking woman in what Satan showed him? I mean, women. Get thee behind me, Satan. I got hufamune. I got character. I'm here for a reason. That's to serve my God. Money, glory, gold, abundance of women, they don't faze me because I got character. I prove my love for the Father by doing his will. Hufamune. 51:28. My heart is good and noble, and I will bear fruit with patience. I bore fruit with hufamune, with character. We're guaranteed. So if you felt that you haven't, that you're not a tenfold, ask yourself, how much character do I have? Because I'm guaranteed to bear fruit if I walk in hufamune, in consistency. I'm guaranteed to bear fruit. Guaranteed. If you sow seed on good soil, you're going to bear fruit in the natural. You're going to bear fruit in the spiritual. If you add hufamune to your faith, you're gonna bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. So if you feel you're at 5% or fivefold, ask yourself, how much hufamune do I walk in? And I'm preaching to myself. I believe God's word brings maturity. I believe it. I believe it. But what expedites maturity is hearing God's word and keeping it with hufamune. The apostles went from the resurrection 60 or 65 days later and walked straight into an external manifestation of the kingdom. Right into it. And do you think they might have known a little something about hufamune? About character? Now, I'm not mad because I've been in here 25 years because we're striving the best that we can. We're learning. But if we want to have a good and noble heart, we will produce fruit with hufamune, with patience. And that patience is, I'm just going to wait here, patient, you know, that patience is an action word, man. Hufamune. I have character. I will not surrender to temptation. I will not surrender to temptation. Why? Because I want to see a manifestation of the kingdom of God. I want to see it. I will see it because I will add hufamune all the time into whatever I go through. It's not a suggestion, my friends. It is the way of the kingdom. World, you want my testimony? Well, you'll probably get it if I don't add hufamune to my faith. Predetermined tonight, this is a lifestyle. Lord, I know tomorrow, tonight, I feel good. I know tomorrow, my emotions might turn on me, but it's okay. The emotions might turn on me, but I am going to practice hufamune. I will make myself have character that does not surrender to temptation and that will not succumb under trial. That's why I love our armed forces. I love our soldiers, Rudy. I love you, man. When you sign up to the military, some sign up to get college, but in the back of their mind, they know one day they might have to fight, but yet they still sign up. That's impressive to me, man. That's impressive to me. Knowing you might want to go to further your education, I think it's the GI Bill. Is that right, Rudy? Knowing that a lot of people go to get free education, and there's nothing wrong with that. The GI Bill, that's awesome. But in back of Rudy's mind, when he signed that contract, he probably said to himself, I might have to go into war. I want free education. I want it through the GI Bill. But in the back of my mind, I might have to go fight and die for my country. And he still went. That's commendable to me, man. When we're born again, success in the churches. Well, it was a great service today in the air condition. 30 people were born again. Glory to God. Yes. Can you say the same thing in Syria that it was a good service? But hufamune will say, hufamune, that force of consistency to obey God's word. We can say it was a good service wherever we go, with AC or without AC. I've determined, and I'm closing. If Corey was here, he'd say, yeah, right. In closing, I've determined I'm in the fight of my life. I'll leave it at that. If you remember me, just pray for me. I've determined, Miss Candy, no matter these eyes ever open up, which they are, but I've determined even not seeing, I'm going to strive with all my heart not to think I'm a victim, but I'm going to strive with all my heart to walk in the love of God. Just because I'm going through something doesn't mean that I have to be rude to you. I have to show off my Father. I have to show him off. I said, let my light shine. And if I let my light shine and God is in that light, then he's seen. He is seen. I can't go on Facebook using the MF word as a Christian and not knowing that I have an audience. You sowed a seed, man. You sowed a seed. You can't say MF, forgive me, that's, and say I'm blessed of God. You can't hate and be blessed of God. Hufamune sees us through circumstances and trials and things. That's what it says in the Greek. It's usually in reference to trials, circumstances, or things. Dealing with people. It's called mercy. I don't care what you do to me, or I shouldn't care. I used to say when I first got saved, well, you can't outsend the grace of God. Boy, I was so stupid. I say that all the time. Well, you can't outsend the grace of God. You know why I was saying that? Because I was still addicted to porno. So it made me feel good about myself, right? I remember a pastor called me up to that little house. He used to have me lead testimonies. I used to wear shorts to church. And he gave me the mic. He said, Brother Homer's going to need this in testimonies. And I went out there and I froze with the mic. I was like this. I started crying. And he told me after church, what a wonderful man. He knew what my darkness was. And I thought I was going to get a reprimand. You worthless piece of trash. He said, hey, you watch a pornography, aren't you? I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, I am. And he gave me a hug. I'm going to watch a pornography now. Probably give me a kick in the butt because I know better. But 51:28 will take us to the end, into revival, into a manifestation of the kingdom of God. Dealing with you, no matter what you do to me, I'm not just to talk about God's mercy, I'm to show it. See, mercy is done. It's not just talked about. If I judge you, if I condemn you, I'm not forgiving. I'm not walking in mercy, and I'm called a hypocrite because I forgot about his abundant mercy that got me born again. I forgot what he did for me. So I put you on blast openly. You hypocrite. You forgot of the blood that was shed for your salvation. You forgot the compassion and the mercy that the Almighty God showed you when you got born again. You hypocrite, Jesus says. I'm not saying it. Jesus said it. You hypocrite. That's why you can take note of somebody's speck. Because your eye is so covered with a beam. You can't even tell you got a beam. You're so blind. That's why you put somebody on blast openly on Facebook. You can't even tell your own error. You're so blind to yourself. Then you want to put somebody on blast on Facebook. Jesus says, you hypocrite. You forgot of the blood that was shed for you. You forgot. You were set free from sin. You forgot the way my back was so bruised and battered. You forgot the spear that went on my side. You forgot that I was separated from my father and went to hell for 3 days for you. If you judge somebody, you want stripes laid on their back, and you want to see those stripes on their back, according to Deuteronomy 25. If you have a dispute with somebody, and you go before a judge, Deuteronomy 25, you want the judge to pass a condemnation on the one that did you wrong. And if the judge condemns the wicked man, they receive marks on their back. And you want to be there to see Old Covenant Saint, and you want to be there to see those marks on their back. If you judge as a born-again believer, you are doing the same thing that they did in Deuteronomy 25. And if you judge by the law, what's going to judge you? Not the law of liberty. If you're holding on to hate, you're acting like an old covenant saint that does not have the life of God in him, and you will be judged because you forgot about that abundant mercy. You better watch before you call somebody an MF on Facebook. I'm so blessed of God. I'm so blessed. God is so good to me. He's good, but he ain't being good to you. Not in your state. The only prayer he can hear from you is that, Lord, forgive me. I don't care how much you can quote. I don't care how well you can articulate. Reading the word of God is so impressive, but doing it far exceeds it. Get your nose in the word of God. We know about praying in tongues. All of us pray in tongues. We know that. We know that. All the awesome men of God whose messages we hear, they all tell us to read the word of God. I pray in tongues. Good. Good. Read the Bible. It's common. And I know people detest when I say that. But you know what I'm famous for, what I'm going to say? I don't care. I'm not here to make you happy. I'm here to edify you and exhort you and to comfort you in the faith. I've been spending almost all day the last few days praying in the Holy Ghost. I don't need my tongue. Praying, praying, praying. That is our way of life. But you can never disannul reading of God's word, man. Never, never, never. Well, I prayed 8 hours and I read the word for 15 minutes. Oh boy, you giant killer. Hufamone. I got character. You want to revile me? I'll follow the example of my Savior, 1 Peter chapter 2. He did no sin when he was reviled. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Amen. 51:28. Did you learn a little something? Did you really? Sweetheart, come stand by me over here, baby. We thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for this offering we're about to take up. It's sown on good ground, Father. My heart's desire, Lord. My heart's desire. That we can comprehend what Hufamone means, Lord. That we will walk in it. And we're guaranteed to bear fruit, Father. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. But not without Hufamone, Lord. Not without consistency. So I thank you, Father, for this offering we're about to receive. We thank you that Pastor Brown will be back Sunday morning. I love you, Father. I thank you, and I glorify you. Amen.